series we started last week called Family Circus. And I just want to say thank you to the moms that sat with us last week and walked through that with us. Last week was great. We got to hear from some precious voices of these ladies, and so we're grateful for that. And thank you for helping us put that together last week. This morning we're going to continue in this series called Family Circus. Anybody feel like you're living in a circus? Your home life sometimes feels like a circus. You feel like, you know, you're the clowns, the clown cars, you know. Maybe it's just something going on all the time. Taming the lions, you know. Maybe you're like the bear that's on the unicycle. I don't know, right? And so how many of you guys have been to a circus before? Anybody ever been to a circus? Okay, a few of you have been to a circus. So one of the circus acts that I think that are maybe the most breathtaking are the trapeze artists. Anybody ever seen trapeze artists? Like, and they are amazing, right? Because they are doing these death-defying tricks. They are flying through the air, flipping around, and just doing all these acrobatics. And it's amazing. It's amazing to watch them do it. I don't think that I could do it. I think I would land on my head if I tried to do that. And so you probably would too. Don't laugh at me, okay? And so we would be hurt together. But today I want us to talk a little bit about that, because today is about trapeze transitions. And we're going to go to the book of Joshua chapter 1 here in just a second. But I want you to think about this. I want you to just picture a trapeze artist in your head. And she is, she's got this bar that she's holding on to, and she's swinging back and forth. And at some point, she lets go of that bar. And she begins to spin and flip in the air. And there's this moment where she's let go of what she's been holding on to, and she has not yet grabbed hold of either the next bar or the hands that are supposed to catch her. And there's this moment where she's in midair. And sometimes that's like our life that's in transition, right? That is a great picture of people who may be in the middle of transition of some sort. And transition is difficult sometimes. Transition can feel like that you're caught in this moment. You're caught in this mid-air moment of kind of breathlessness, like, what happens next? What is going to happen now? And maybe some of you probably are not, you would not be that gracious of an acrobat. Maybe you're more like the guy who is shot out of the cannon. Anybody, you feel like that? You're shot out of the cannon, you're just flying through there, you're flailing, right? It's kind of the cross between failing and falling. You're flailing. And that's what maybe it feels like. And that's what I want us to talk about today, is this idea of transition. And when we talk about transitions, these are some of the moments that can define our life the greatest, right? It's in those moments where you're moving from one thing to the next. And that's what we see in this story that we're going to look at today in Joshua chapter 1. Is the children of Israel, right? God's people. He has brought them out of Egypt. They have been walking with Moses up to this point. They've come through the wilderness, we've seen this transition. They've come from being slaves, and now they're becoming a people, right? And so let's go ahead and read that. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. And every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And from the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you.'" And this is it. I want you to notice the words that get repeated here in verse 6. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Do you notice that? What does he say? Keep close. The book of the law, right? But you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Once again, what does he say? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be afraid. Do not be scared, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so we see this story. We see the story of Israel, and they're in a transition. And what is this transition that they're in? They're in this transition from who? They're in this transition from Moses to Joshua as leader. They're in the transition. So there's three things that I want you to see that they're in transition of, this major transition stage. The first one, like I said, is leadership transition. While Moses was a prophet and a lawgiver, Joshua is what? He is a military man. And so they're moving from following and getting instructions from Moses, the lawgiver and the prophet, to Joshua, who is a military man. He's got a military mind. And so this is a leadership transition. This is also a physical transition. This is a transition from one geographic location to another. This is a transition that you're going to see them moving from desert survival, and they're moving from being travelers in the wilderness, and they're going to move to this place where they're living more agriculturally. They're going from being nomads to being people who are, you know what? Hey, we're not in tents anymore. We're building houses, and we're planting vineyards, and we're planting agriculture, whatever that is that they were planting. And so that is a transition even on its own. So we have leadership transition. We have a physical and geographic transition. And then you see that there is a spiritual religious transition, and they're moving from the miracle years in the wilderness, right? These are the years that they walked in the wilderness, these 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness, and what happened? God provided for them. God provided for them. He provided manna. He provided quail, right? He provided for them. These were the miracle years, and now they're moving from what? They're moving from miracle years to more of a ordinary faith. They're moving from this moment of formation, and that's what God is doing with them in this wilderness period. He's forming them into a people, and now they're moving from formation to application, right? Now they're going to have to apply all the things that they've learned in the wilderness. They're going to have to begin to live this out and begin to live out this identity that God has been bringing them to. And so these three things, these three transitions are major transitions: leadership transition, physical transition, and even a spiritual transition that we see happening from them. And they're going from Moses to Joshua, and it's like this moment that they're in midair, okay? They're in midair, and they're in this struggle of like, what happens now? Now, transition is hard. Anybody, have you ever transitioned from anything, right? Transition from one place to another, maybe from one job to another, from being able to say, hey, I'm a student, and now, you know, I'm in the career field, career world. What does that look like? And so these are transitions, and these transitions, they can hit hard. And some of those transitions, they look like getting married, right? If you move from single life to what? Married life. Anybody, that was a transition for you, right? Come on, some of y'all are still trying to figure out that transition, right? Single life to married life. Some of you, you're going from being two people in your family, just you and your wife, or you and your husband, right? Now you're having a baby, and so now there's going to be three of you. Some of you, maybe you're moving into, there's going to be four of you. Some of you, maybe there's going to be five of you now, right? And like I said, then after that, you just have to buy a bus, and you become a bus driver, right? So these are transitions that we see. Some of you, you moved away from home, and you've been away from your parents for a while, but now you are in transition because now maybe you become a caregiver for your parents, right? So that's a transition. That's a transition that we can find ourselves in, the blending of new families. When you're starting, maybe you're starting school, or you're getting ready to send your baby off to college, right? These are all transition stages that we can feel like we're that trapeze artist just in midair, letting go of one thing and getting ready to grab hold of something else. And that can be terrifying in a lot of ways. That can be very scary. And I think about it like this. I think about like a caterpillar. Anybody seen a caterpillar that it transforms from being a caterpillar into what? What? A butterfly. I think somebody said something else. I was like, what? Let's go back to basic biology, okay? And so it transitions from being a caterpillar to a butterfly. And maybe what you don't see is in the middle of that transition that it's in, when it's in that cocoon, that it is breaking down. Everything is dissolving. It basically becomes goo. Okay, did you know that? I didn't know that. And that is disgusting. All right? And that can be the messy side of transition, right? Before you become something beautiful, you have to go through the messiness of that transition. And that's what this is like. That's what transition can be like. And so what are those transitions where maybe you've seen things break down, you've seen things dissolve, you've seen things kind of letting go and becoming something else. And in that moment, you're trying to figure out, what does this look like? What's going to happen? Sometimes transition feels like you're in midair and you have to figure out if you're falling or if you're flying, right? Sometimes it's that question, am I falling or am I flying? Do we have any pilots in here? Anybody, you're a pilot, you fly planes, maybe you've ridden on a plane before. Anybody just ridden on, anybody seen a plane before, right? Okay, all right. So, no, there are no pilots at this church, right? At least for the last two services, okay? Where? Right there, awesome. I might let you come up here and tell me about this. You tell me if I'm wrong, okay? So, I'm not a pilot, but I understand that when you're training to be a pilot, that they tell you about things about spatial disorientation. And there's different ways this can happen, but one in particular is inversion illusion, where you kind of feel like you're tumbling backwards. And basically, I think the way I understand it is this, like in our inner ear, we have fluid, and when that fluid is displaced and we're kind of out of sorts, it can make us feel like we're falling, or like our body is kind of telling us, hey, something is not right here. And they say in those moments, that's where you kind of have to trust your instruments, right, to tell you what's true. Because your body is saying, hey, I'm falling, but no, your instruments tell you something else. And that's a lot like transition, because transition, when we're in that transition, it can feel like falling. It can feel like, hey, this is happening to me, and this is not good. This feels like one thing, but I think that's where it's important for us to go back and see what it said to Joshua. Joshua was told this. He said, hey, be what? Strong and courageous. He had to hear God's word. God's word had to become that instrument panel for him. It had to tell him what was true when fear told him what to feel like, right? Because sometimes what is true and what we feel like doesn't always add up. Sometimes we can feel one thing and the truth is very different, right? And so that's why it's important for us to say, hey, God, what does your word say? What is the truth that's going on here? And that's what we see in Joshua chapter 1, that Joshua is being told, hey, you're going to feel this at some point. There's going to be this fear at some point that you have, because you're going to fear what the unknown is. You're going to fear that there are giants, right? Because they've already spied out the land. They've already kind of seen a little bit of what their challenge is going to be, but they don't know exactly what that is going to be like. And now they're getting ready to step into it. And so there's this fear. There's this maybe this hesitation, this apprehension in Joshua and the children of Israel. And God's having to remind them. He's having to say it. He didn't say it. Not, he said it once. He said it twice. He said it how many times? Three times. He said it three times in four verses. Right? Get that. So what do you think he wants you to understand? To be strong and courageous, right? Because the temptation for us is to fear and to back up. The temptation for us is to do what he knew Israel tried to do already, and that they tried to go back to Egypt. When they hit this wilderness, when they hit all the difficulties of being in this wilderness in the desert, that they said, you know, Moses, why did you bring us out here just to die? Are there not enough graves in Egypt that you have to bring us out here in the wilderness to die? And they started thinking about, you know, some of the things that they had in Egypt. They said, did we not have the leeks and the melons, right? Did we not have the onions? And they started thinking about all the things that they had. And it's like Moses needed to remind them, said, did you not remember that you were also slaves there, right? And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes fear puts us into a place where we feel spatially disoriented, right? And we have to have something to recenter us. We have to have something to kind of refocus us. And life transitions kind of work this way. It's kind of like when you're in midair and you're between jobs, or you have a diagnosis, or you're between who you were and who you're becoming, right? What does that look like? It feels like free falling. It feels like, you know, some of these guys that are graduating, and my son graduated on Friday night, and it's this place that he's at. He's like, you know, I'm not so much a kid anymore, and I look at him as still a kid, but he's moving into this new stage, and it's this stage of letting go of who he was, and he's getting ready to grab hold of something else. And that can be terrifying. How many parents have you been terrified for your kids in that moment, right? And it's that transition that we experience. And there's fear that can be there. And it's in that moment you have to ask yourself this question: am I falling or am I flying, right? Am I falling or am I flying? And that trapeze artist, when they're in midair, I guess they could have a panic attack. And in that moment, they could have a panic attack and say, oh, no, I'm falling. And they would probably lose sight of what they needed to do to complete that task, that to grab hold of the next bar, or to grab hold of those hands that are coming for them. But probably I would say this, is they've done this enough that in that moment, they would not say, I'm falling. They would probably say, no, I'm flying. And it's a different perspective, because they know, hey, there's someone there that's going to catch me. They know, I've been here before. I've seen how this works. I've practiced this. I know what this looks like. And it's the same thing for us, guys, that God's saying, hey, there's transitions you're going to experience in life. And the temptation is going to be to fear it. The temptation is going to be to let it tell you it's one thing and miss out on the excitement of flying. The fear will tell you you're falling. But God wants you to see, hey, no, this is a chance for you to fly. This is a chance for you to experience something new. And it's in that moment we have to ask those questions: am I falling or am I flying? God's word tells them, what, three times? Be strong and courageous. We're also reminded here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to this young pastor, Timothy. He said this. He says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, and of love, and of self-control, right? He said, Timothy, this is what you've been given. You've been given love. You've been given the power to love people. You've been given the power of self-control. You've been given strength to do what you need to do in this transition that you're in, right? This is what God wants you to lean into in this moment. But the temptation, once again, is to be fearful. The temptation is for us to pull back. See, what fear does is fear distorts our perceptions, but faith recalibrates our focus. Fear distorts kind of how we see things and what we're feeling, and right? And that's when we kind of have to say, nope, I'm not going to go based on my feelings, because right now I don't feel great. There have been so many times as your pastor that I have not felt saved, right? Has anybody ever felt like that? I don't feel saved right now. I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like I'm in a good place, right? There have been plenty of times that I felt like that. I am so glad I am not saved by my feelings. I'm saved by my faith in who? Jesus Christ. It's that faith that I put in Jesus. No matter how I feel, no matter what emotions are kind of stirring inside of me, what I do is I remind myself, I look at my instrument panel and I say, nope, His word says this. This is what God has said to me. This is what God's word tells me. This is the truth about who I am. And I just remind myself of truth. I remind myself of God's word. And this is exactly what Joshua had to do. This is why God told him three times, and actually told him more than that. If you look at the theme of the book, you're going to see this pop up over and over and over and over again. He has to tell Joshua, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, don't forget what I told you at the beginning. Be strong and courageous, because this is who you are. This is who I want you to be. This is what I'm building into your life, a strength and encouragement. Joshua, be strong and courageous. And maybe that's God's word to you today. Maybe today you're kind of in that mid-air moment where you're letting go of one thing and you're about to step into something new. And God really wants you to hear this morning, hey, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous because, not because maybe you feel it, it's because my word speaks it. It's because you have faith in me. You have faith in Jesus. Maybe there's all these other things that will let you down, but God doesn't let us down. And so what fear does, fear distorts our perceptions, but faith recalibrates our focus. And it's sometimes our greatest acts of faith don't happen in the stable moments of life. They happen in those mid-air moments where we're letting go. That's where our greatest moments of faith and maybe our greatest moments of growth take place, is in those mid-air moments where we're looking to say, all right, am I flying? Am I falling? Or you have to ask this question, two other questions you can ask. So who do you want to be in that moment, right? Who do you want to be in that moment where you're kind of in mid-air? Or who are you going to become when you land? What does that look like? And I think that's a question that Joshua was having to ask himself. We see this in the book of James. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2 through 4, and it says this. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. How many of you guys, that's how you live your life? I consider it pure joy when I face challenges. I consider it pure joy when I get stressed out. I consider it pure joy when my life is in chaos. I consider it pure joy when I seem like I'm shot out of a cannon and I've got to give snacks to all the kids in the car. I mean, you consider it pure joy. Yeah, me neither, okay? And it's like this. It's like, James, who are you talking to? What are you talking about? But I love this because he goes on. He says this, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. How many of you guys have ever told somebody, you need to grow up? And how many of you just kind of had to deck, you know, when they went to go punch you after you said that, you know, it's like, we don't like having, you know, somebody tell us, you need to grow up. Now, we like to tell people to grow up. Didn't that feel good? Because we feel like the person with the moral superiority, right? You need to grow up, right? Like me. But James is setting on a whole nother level here. He's like, hey, listen, he's like, this is what the testing of your faith does. This is what the challenges that you walk through and the transitions that you walk through, this is what they produce in your life. When you trust God through this, they produce perseverance. And that perseverance is going to bring you to maturity. And it's going to bring you to a complete work of what God wants to do. Isn't that what we just sang a few minutes ago? That God will complete his work in us? How many of you guys just want to be a half-completed work? No, nobody does, right? And so we all want to come to maturity. We all want to grow up in Jesus. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, listen, this is where you have to grow up in Jesus. And that may mean that you walk through trials. And that may mean that you walk through testing. And that may mean that you're like that trapeze artist who is in midair, in transition, letting go of one thing and getting ready to grab hold of the next. What is that like? That is like this. And James says, hey, when you press through, when you let God use this moment and test your faith, he is going to use that to bring you to maturity, right? Last thing is this. You may not have a choice about going through your transition, but you do get a choice about who you become in that transition. You may not have a choice about going through it, but you do get a choice about who you become in that transition, in those moments. There are three kinds of transitions in life, I'm told. The first transition in life is called choice transitions. Those are the kind of transitions when you say, hey, I'm going to buy a new car, right? And I'm going to let go of this old jalopy. Anybody ready to get rid of your old jalopy, okay? And you're ready to buy a new truck, okay? And you're ready to buy a new vehicle, right? Those are choice transitions. You make a choice to choose that. I am buying a new car. That's a choice you make. Then there are natural transitions, and we get what this is. This is life stages. This is like graduation, like this weekend. This is marriage. Marriages where you're getting married, right? Or maybe when you're becoming parents, or maybe you're retiring, you know, and those are transitions. All those are natural transitions in life, and that's just part of it. We kind of see that coming. We prepare for those. You kind of say, hey, you need to go to school and learn something because there's a transition. You're not always going to be in school, and so those are things we plan for. Choice transitions, natural transitions. The third one is the toughest one, though. These are the imposed transitions in life. Imposed transitions in life are things like you get a cancer diagnosis. You get sick. You lose your job. Somebody dies. Those are imposed transitions. It's in that moment, it's where you say, I didn't ask for this. Right? It's in that moment you say, I didn't expect this. I didn't see this coming. And it's in those moments where you're having to figure out, all right, who am I going to be? This is not a transition I saw coming, but I get a choice about who I'm going to become in this moment. I get a choice about what happens as I'm letting go of one thing and getting ready to grab hold of the next thing. And there's three things I think that we get to choose. You get to choose in that moment. You get to choose to trust. Get to choose to trust God in midair. It's in that moment. Hopefully, you've already chosen to trust God, right? That's going to make that transition better, right? It may not make it easy, but it's going to make it better if you've already made that choice. But if you're in the middle of transition and you haven't chosen to trust God yet, I'm going to encourage you to choose to trust God in the middle of this transition. To say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm putting all my eggs in your basket. God, I'm putting all my faith in you. I need you, Lord, more than anything. So you choose to trust. Who you choose to trust in midair is important. The second thing is you choose to embrace the change when you're in midair, right? Because you could try to back up. Anybody tried to back up and realize life doesn't go in reverse? Life doesn't go in reverse, and you have to embrace it. Right in that moment, if you're in the middle of transition, embrace it and just say, hey, God, if you're testing me, if this is a challenge that I'm walking through right now, all right, that's okay. What do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn? And the third thing is what we've said, choosing who you're going to be when you land. What does that look like? Choosing who you're going to be when you land. And I'm going to ask somebody to come play. I want you to stand with me this morning. Transition is difficult, whether it happens early in life, midlife, or maybe later in life. And how we deal with it is important. How we deal with it is a choice of us. We ask those questions, am I falling or am I flying? Am I allowing fear to dictate my decision making? Am I allowing what my feelings are telling me tells me this, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. The steps
1.